Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hockey Strength Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Sippets. We are, of course, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. Right now we have over 900 articles, videos, webinars, programs, you name it. If it's about hockey training, we've got it on the site. I'm excited about today's episode because not only do I get to try out my new mic, we also get to talk to one of the most seasoned veterans in the NHL. That's Nelson Ayutt. He's just left 10 years with the St. Louis Blues, and he's starting a new position with the Columbus Blue Jackets, so we're going to be talking to him about that. If you haven't checked out our Twitter feed lately, check it out because we've had some awesome exchanges on there. We've got a lot of new followers every day, so let's check it out. I think we're putting a lot of great information out there. And to sort of pull back the curtain there, a lot of that content is posted by Devin McConnell. He does an awesome job for us. He's a partner in the site, so he's really kind of taken over that role and has posted some great stuff. There's some other contributions from Daryl and I in there, but a lot of the best stuff you read is stuff that Devin has dug up for you. So check it out. It's a great resource. And then, of course, we hope you'll consider being a member of the site. If you want to try it out, it's just $1 for the first 7 days. After that, it's $14.95 a month, or you can invest for the year at just $149. So again, we put our best stuff on the site as content, presentations, programs, videos, articles that we've written, all this great content from us and from other great coaches. So we hope you'll consider joining us on the site because we know you're going to get a lot out of that content. So just a heads up about today's episode, there is a little bit of echo. We tried to minimize as much of it as possible. I think it's still... it's still of good quality, but I think you're going to hear a little bit of a shadow or a little bit of an echo in the audio, so I apologize for that. But hang in there, because Nelson has a lot of great stuff to say. He's going to be talking about his new position in Columbus and also his supplement company, Genethics, which had some pretty interesting roots. So we're going to go ahead and get on the phone with Coach Nelson Ayutt with the Columbus Blue Jackets. All right, hey everybody, thanks for joining us. Today we are talking on the phone with Nelson Ayutt, the brand new strength and conditioning coach for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Nelson is on his way over from St. Louis, and he's taken the time to join us today, even though he's right in the midst of a move to Columbus. So Nelson, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem, you're more than welcome. Just to clarify, to make sure, I doesn't hold the strength and conditioning coach title in Columbus. This is Kevin Collins, still the strength and conditioning coach. I'm a high performance consultant for this year.
High performance consultant. Okay. All right. So that's something that we should talk about too. Is that high performance team that you and I had talked about a little bit earlier? I do want to get into that, but first, let's talk about. A little bit of history. You spent the last 10 years with the Blues. Before that, I think what a lot of people don't realize is that you started coaching biathlon athletes in the Canadian military. So explain how you got from coaching biathlon to the NHL.
Okay. Yeah, first of all, I've been in the trade for 27 years now. I started in 89. Actually, I joined the military in 1988, but I was an endurance athlete myself while I was a teenager and early part of my life in my early 20s as well, too. So I was a cross-country skier, and I was running track and cross-country as well, too. And when I joined the military in 88, I knew that that was one of the best avenues to keep going in sport because I knew they had the biathlon team, which was detached full-time in the Canadian military in order to... it's an elite group that was going on to represent the Canadian forces at the World Cup circuit and Olympics and so on. So I joined the military in order to keep skiing, basically, because, you know, the amateur side is... they don't make much money, and it's not always a good way of living. So I knew by the military I would achieve those two goals, like make a good living and being able to keep training full time. So as I came in 89, I was only 19 year old at that time, and but end up winning the military championship, and they asked me to start to coach the team. So the military started to send me on my coaching courses all across Canada, and I finished the courses in 2000 at the University of Victoria in British Columbia, and that's how I got my coaching trade at that time through military / biathlon team.
Nice. Okay, so it was less out of it was more out of, you know, pursuing your own training goals, and then that sort of morphed into the coaching job. That's pretty cool. So then from there, you know, a total endurance sport to more of a power sport. How do you make the transition then from biathlon to the NHL?
But being the head coach for the Canadian military team brought me to the chance to have to work with winter Olympic sports in Canada. And, you know, in Canada, the Olympic sports, they're all together. So it doesn't matter if you're in speed skating or alpine skiing, or you're all under the same roof. And there was a center in Calgary and one in Quebec City. So being the head of my group, I was introduced to other athletes during that time. And in 2002-2003, I got an offer to go work with professional athletes, which was hockey players. And at that time, those hockey players were Chris Pronger and Al MacInnis. Doug Waite and all these guys, actually eight guys from the St. Louis Blues, and I started to be their personal trainer to take care of their physical preparation. And basically, when Al MacInnis retired and become the VP of the operation of the St. Louis Blues, he asked me to come on board with the team. So that's exactly how the transition took place.
Nice. Okay. So a couple of good ends there. Those are some names that people are going to recognize. Okay, so sort of moving forward with that, I know I saw you present 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, out in Colorado Springs at the Training for Hockey clinic out there. And you were presenting on nutrition. I didn't know at that time that you were developing your own nutrition company called Genethics. So, you know, there's hundreds of products and product companies out there. Where does Genethics fit in? Where did you see the need to develop your own brand and your own company there?
But a bit of history on this one as well, too, that because everybody knows there's basically not really any university that says, okay, you're going to go in the supplement developing branch. So there was actually not a real trade attached to it. But being in the military for 15 years, I had full access to the lab, the military lab, and I had actually eight lab technicians that I could use with the biathlon team at that time. So, and of course, when you're the head of any group like this, a lot of companies, and you just mentioned it, hundreds of companies are there, and everybody think that they have the secret formula. And they contact you, and they contact the people in charge and says, hey, I have a product that would be good for your athletes, and so on and so on. So I started to ask those companies to send me samples and to build placebos with it as well, too. And I started to conduct my own studies on supplements and how they work to the athletes. So I was ending up being able to have my study group by myself. And the nice thing with the military is that the athletes has to follow what you said almost no matter what. So we were able to build studies with those military personnel, women and male elite athletes, to see what worked basically and what doesn't work. And after a while, I got in touch with one company that at that time was Power Nutrition and was starting to add to telling them, why don't you do that type of formula or and so on. And at one point they said, why don't you stop complaining and help us instead? So basically I started to formulate a product for them, and after that I formulated product for a Canadian company, US company, and actually even Italian companies. And as it was going later on, joining the Blues, there's a player, actually Barrett Jackman, came to see me and said, Nelson, I'd like to have a multivitamin that is pharmaceutical grade, but it's also tested for banned substances. And I was astonished to realize that there was actually no such product on the market at that time. It was zero. So then Barrett looked at me and said, why don't you do it? I said, well, yeah, okay, that's a full product. I know what the process like to how extensive the process is. And I wasn't sure if I had the time and or want to commit the time to do it. So that night I talked to my wife and she says, yeah, instead of giving your formula to companies and just getting a royalty, which is pretty thin, usually it's anywhere between 1-3, if you're lucky, 4%. Mm. Then we took our basically savings account and built the first batch of genetics multivitamin, and that's it was in 2010 I started, and the first batch came out in 2011. And I knew at that time with only a small batch, it was only 1,000 bottles, I believe. And I said, I knew enough people in the business to get rid of those bottles in the next 2-3 years. Because the expiration date was 3 years. Mm-hmm. But I got rid of the bottles in 6 months. And then after 6 months, then I had to build another batch and then another batch and then end up building a woman multivitamin and then a teenage multivitamins. And that's basically how genetics started.
Wow, very cool. So it's based on, and definitely sampled the whole product line, and it's awesome stuff. And I think the most important thing is it's NSF certified for sport. So, like your initial conversation with Barrett Jackman, it's something that's not going to get the players in trouble. It's something that what's on the label is actually in the product, which is unfortunately is something that you don't see or something that's not highly regulated unless it's got this certification.
Yes, you're right.
So cool. You know, that's, I think, something, supplements that are ethical. And, you know, obviously you've sort of tested them with these hockey players and things like that. Were you using this in St. Louis?
Yes, exactly. So the multivitamin started, but I was doing other supplements for the team as well too, that we were, privately testing at that time. And one of them that was a big hit, it was called the Blues Juice. So we had that product, which was a pre-game and a game formula to perform. And it was made only for us. And it's actually Paul Kariya that paid for the first production from his own pocket in order to have the whole team that taken the product. And it was a powder, and then it ended up being a pill form. But the product got really popular, especially in the college area. Because, like, from word to mouth was going, oh, there's the Blues Juice in the locker room. And, of course, it was a production only for the team. Mm-hmm. But people always seems to be interested when the product is not available.
Yeah, absolutely.
How can we get this? It's not for sale. It's only for the locker room. And then built even a bigger hype around the products as well, too. So I end up, after a couple of years, I end up deciding to take the formula, because this I was owning the formula. And prepare the compete formula for genetics and make it public to everybody else. So basically, the compete formula nowadays used to be the old Blues Juice.
Oh, cool.
That was in a pill. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, and it's good stuff. Like you said, it's trustworthy. It's ethical, and the flavors are great. You don't get your standard flavors. So, Where can people learn a little bit more about genetics? Is there a website that they can check out and order from, possibly?
Yeah, absolutely. Like www.genetics.com. We have who's behind the company and a description of our product and where we come from. One of the thing I'd like to highlight, compared to most companies, we own the manufacturer. So the manufacturer is ours, because we do supplements for other companies as well too. But anytime we control the production from A to Z, we don't subcontract to make our powders or our bars. Like it's made in house basically.
Nice, and then you keep that trust factor for sure.
Yes, yeah, we have no third party. Like the only third party that's involved is NSF when the product is finished.
Yeah, because how many players and athletes do you see that are taking a substance that's supposed to not have or supposed to be, banned substance free, and then all of a sudden they get busted for something, and it's not necessarily, I mean, sometimes it is, but sometimes there's times where they legitimately didn't know or it wasn't on the label. So having that trust is something that's essential, especially for professional athletes.
For sure. For sure. And it's twofold. It's not just the banned substances, it's the quality of the product too. If your protein says you have 21 gram in it, and we have several companies that just got busted in the last year, claiming that they have 20 or 30 grams of protein, but they end up having only like between 12 and 14. And so that's another thing. Beside the banned substances, I wanted to, the athletes that I'm responsible, have access to the very best ingredients as well, too, in the purest form of whatever is in the product.
Nice. Okay, so you're definitely going to be taking that with you to Columbus. And I want to talk a little bit about this high performance team. We're seeing a lot of NHL teams now go with instead of, you know, having just a strength and conditioning coach and a athletic training staff. Now we have this high performance team. Talk a little bit about that.
High performance team. Basically, I was a bit in shock when I came in the NHL, coming from the military, because to me, I thought 10 years ago, like when I came in 2004, 2005, I actually found that hockey was about like 10 to 15 years behind the curve compared to any other Winter Olympic sports. And Winter Olympic sports been using that high performance group for years now, and it started to be the new trend in the NHL when it should have been here all along. So, and even when I came in the league, there was not every team that had a strength coach. There's some teams that the athletic trainer was still acting for both, under both hats. And honestly, there's just too much job out there. There's actually too much job for one guy. Mm-hmm. And now it was two job for one. So they brought the strength and conditioning coach on board. Now we start to see assistants to strength and conditioning. And now they add the science, which is basically the numbers, and science is taking like a bigger role in hockey. But it's not just those guys. There's the athletic training, there's the doctors, there's the physiotherapists, there's the nutritionists, and there's the players' development and the coaching staff. So how do you coordinate all those cells together? So that I see the high performance director in the middle of all those cogs and make sure that all those groups has a cohesive process in order to either bring back a guy from injuries or to make the team under their responsibilities to perform at the optimal level.
Great. So it's basically getting everybody on the same page in terms of training, in terms of rehab, and so that everybody knows, you know, what their job is or what their role is with each individual player.
Yes.
So then as a consultant, right, so you're a strength and conditioning consultant, how does that differ from strength and conditioning coach?
For this year, it's more a year of observation. Hockey's a really conservative, has a really conservative mentality, and it's a conservative culture. If you come in a team and think you're going to bulldozer your way in, you're wrong. In the trade we have, you either work for only 1 year for a team or you work for 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's one or the other. And you don't want your first job in the league being your last. So right now, this year, I can't come here and say, oh, Blue Jackets, okay, we're going to change this, change that. And I basically need to be accepted by the whole organization, and that it's management, it's coaches, it's trainers, it's players. And then observing what's going on right now and then see and basically recommend to the GM and the management which direction we should aim, what is good, all right, because there's always good things, and where can we progress or to improve in order to reach the next level with a team.
I see. So you won't be quite as much hands-on with the players. You'll just be more seeing how the culture works and seeing how the daily training works.
Yes, exactly. Observer. For the first season, I'm an observer here and try to understand how the whole organization, because it's pretty complex. Okay, it's easy to see only the strength coach desk or only the athletic trainer desk, but the real challenge is to understand all those together. How you're going to convince the coaching staff and the head coach that what you can provide to them. It's really useful information that they need on a daily basis. And same thing with the athletic training group and the medical doctor. Where do you go? How do you basically filter the information to everybody to, in order to make them interested, make them participate, and they have to trust you first of all. So you have to gain that trust first, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the more you talk about it, the more complicated it seems. I mean, there's definitely a lot of irons in the fire here, so that you know, it can't be tackled by one person. So we're getting a lot of roles, and it definitely takes a lot of communication between the among the team. What other positions are there on the team? So there's an analytics guy.
I know you have analytics. You have the video guy. You have the sports psychologist. You have there's like I said, a nutritionist or whatever your high performance director thing that needs to. It needs to address a need to the team. So it basically, the team decide how many person that they want to have involved in the locker room and in the process. The funny part and the touchy part of that is if you talk to any of those specialists, they think that their area is the most important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you talk to the strength coach, he think that 85% is strength and conditioning. If you talk to the psychologist, he think that he's 90%. If you talk to the coaching staff, So all of them think that they're the very most important part, but then the players in the middle of that, if everybody want to have a piece of them, then at the end of the week, there's nothing left. So who gives and take, like what's most important at that time, and where are you going to do the compromise, and what are going to be the things that you can't compromise in the training and on and off the ice?
Man, with so many passionate people and people with expertise in different areas, it's got to be hard to juggle all that for the director. I mean, there's have to have some people that are really flexible with their ego, I guess you could say.
you know what? Yes, it's a locker room full of egos, and you just nail it on the head, like mentioning the word ego. That's the first thing in the team as well, too. The priority, you need to leave the ego at the door. And the people who are successful in the NHL, to my experience, are people that are competent, but also at what time they knew when to use their ego or when it's time to leave it on the side as well, too.
Nice. Well, we'll see how that plays out for sure, and it'll definitely reflect with the team on the ice. So we'll be looking forward to seeing that. I know this is a direction that, unfortunately, it's taken hockey a while, but now, you know, over the last 2 years, there's been a big push to embrace a lot of the numbers and make these high performance teams. There's several other teams that are going to that. So last week we put out a tweet to see if there were any additional questions. I think we usually try to keep these interviews fairly short, so we have time for one question here. We did get a question from Ryan. Ryan says, I saw your squat progressions the other day. How were those used in season, and how does FAI change this programming? Now, I don't know which squat progressions or which one you published, but he said that you had published them somewhere. So talk about your squat progressions really quick and how FAI affects them.
Basically, a squat progression, it was something that I put on Twitter and just something to have interest from other guys as well too, and different perspective. I tag like four or five other NHL strength coach on it too, just to see what they do. Because
oh, that's right, I did see that.
Yes, there's several different options, and I just wanted people to see that being exposed to all of them. There's guys like Matt Nicol, Matt Price, Sean Stehan, Mike Potenza, and again, I can name a ton of those guys that are competent guys, but we all do like different things. What I wanted to show to people, it's not that I think I got the truth. Okay, that's the first thing. Anybody that tells you that I have the truth or the secret, then run away, because the more it goes, the more you see that there's no secret. It's what do you do with the tool and the methodology that you decide to use. So I might be really efficient with my methodology, but another person is going to try to apply it and it won't work. So sometimes people say this is a bad plan, or it might not be a bad plan or a bad program. It's more like what you've been successful with. So I put what has been successful to me and the squad progression to me. Hockey, okay, first of all, we don't do sports for health. Sports actually destroy our health in hockey. The guys at the end of the season are in worse shape that they ever been season after season. So the role is to, first of all, can they squat? So that's the first thing I do in evaluation. And then if most of the time they cannot after the season, there's too much weakness either in the ankle, in the hip, or in the back, or in the knees. So I correct those, I address those needs first. And after 4 to 6 weeks, then I can start to implement the program with the players. So there's no really a set program. I just give a general template, which I will start with unilateral work right away in the phase one. Then phase two, I'll go bilateral, but without leaving unilateral. So my two, I always use two mother lifts a day. All right, which is an agonist-antagonist. Mm-hmm. So if I do a quad, then I match it with a hamstring. And then the rest of the workout is still unilateral in order to address and to correct the bilateral need. So that's basically how I go with the players. And I do a progression, longer range of motion in the early phase and shorter range of motion closer to the season in order to work more on the power and the speed. When that is done over the summer, then in the winter, I try to avoid back squat. I will do several form of deadlift with the X bar or so on, and I do front squat mainly. I will do back squat, but it's not something that I like to repeat too often because, like I mentioned in one of the tweets too, I don't like the actual load directly on the spine. And there's players that they want to do squat and they need to do squat, and there's some that they don't at all. So, and if I do squat, I will also do partial squat in the winter, not full squats. So that's the big line. But again, we have 51 contracts in the NHL. It's 51 different training programs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, I think on the FAI part of that, I think they're finding that most professional athletes, hockey players especially, are affected by some sort of impingement. Sometimes it's symptomatic, sometimes it's not. But do you find guys really? I would guess you're using your eye if they can do certain things and they look right doing it. You're sticking with it as long as the players are asymptomatic.
Yes, and that's as it's also experience. Yeah. As the players grew in the league, then there's less and less need to try to progress. It's more like a maintenance, so you don't have to push as hard. And it's years of getting hit and hitting guys too. So you have to be really careful with that. It's basically a pyramid progression. Like you start and then you peak once you're year like 6, 7, 8 in the league, and then it starts to go on the downslope after that too. So the bilateral work is less important and the unilateral become more important.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's funny, like I like all the tests, and you know, like people, like we can get lost in testing so much, but I found there's too much testing for the sake of testing. What do you do with the numbers? I use my testing in order to build the program for the players and to address a need, and this is it. Every time the players are in the weight room, it's a testing session to me. There's not one rep or one set that it's made that it's not a testing session. So the way they position their feet, the way they position their hip, how the knee move forward, backward, how the ankles move, the head, the shoulders, every time they do a rep, that will tell you what needs to be addressed in the training program.
Yep, and you can learn a lot about, you know, if guys are banged up a little bit, they'll start to show you in the workouts. So, yeah, I think that's...
Yes, overcompensate and so on. You're actually the closest to anybody else to being able to find something on a daily basis.
That's why the strength and conditioning part's the 80% most important out of the high-performance team.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
But anyway, they're good. The ego's checked at the door, though, so we'll let the other guys have a piece, too. So, well, this has been great. Nelson, thank you so much for joining us, and you know, I know you're settling in there in Columbus. We caught you sort of mid-move, so appreciate you taking the time, and good luck to you this year, and hopefully all goes well in your new role.
Yeah, no, not a problem. I was really happy for you to have me today, and if there's anything else I can do anytime, I will be happy to help.
All right, I appreciate it. All right, guys, that's going to do it for episode 43 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks to Nelson Ayotte for joining us, even in the middle of a big move to Columbus. And thank you guys for tuning in and joining us. Remember to check out that Twitter feed. Also, we're on Facebook. You can check it out. Lots of valuable content there. And we hope you'll join us as a member of the site. So this has been Brian Sippets for the Hockey Strength Podcast. Until next time, be sure to train smart and check out hockeystrengthandconditioning.com, the world's best resource for training hockey players. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.